If you ever go down Trinidad, they make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make up rhyme, guarantee you one real good fine time. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter working for the Yankee dollar. Oh, beat it, man, beat it. If a Yankee comes to Trinidad, they got the young girls all going mad. Young girls say they treat them nice, make Trinidad like paradise. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter.
So, you know, I've obviously got an amazingly twisted sense of humor. I 12 minutes ago said I need to have something different to open with tonight. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Let me tell you something. Some of you may have had issues where you can't drink, and I understand that, but I will tell you that a little bit of rum and Coca-Cola will certainly assist you in your battle through coronavirus. Corona, Trinidad, what the heck, you know. Good evening. Welcome to, I guess this is Wednesday. 3 hours ago, I was not sure if I was even going to be here today. This last couple weeks has become more and more difficult. No virus, but I'm not feeling great. And most of it is stress caused. My eating habits are worse than my sleeping habits. When I do sleep, I'm not sure if I'm sleeping. I'm having these weird dreams and nightmares, and it's like, you know, after I sent this piece of music up to the booth, I thought to myself, my God, why can't I just get off my butt, get this recording device of mine set up and do all it, and there's pieces of music and sound bites that I could run from here, like John Belushi screaming food fight, which leads us to our opening segment. Jeff Bennett here, by the way, whatever this program's called. I think we should just call it the Hour of Rum and Coca-Cola and forget about it. I think it would be a lot more uplifting, and what the heck. This came to me early this morning, and it is not the only story of its type, but I wasn't really going to get into it. My wife got up this morning and took off and went to the store and didn't say where or when, just all of a sudden she was gone and didn't answer my text. And when she finally got back, she told me she'd gone to Costco. Well, you know, it's rerun. No, she wasn't there looking for toilet paper and paper towels. My problem is ticked off. She probably didn't go looking. Not that we need toilet paper, but I want their paper towels. And she probably didn't even look. But what was shocking is as the news continues to come out, all of a sudden there's a shortage of fresh meat and stuff over at Costco. And of course, we know that most of it comes from chinky dink land. How can there be a shortage of meat? You got they're cutting off chickens' heads. They're killing chickens because they claim there's no market for the stuff. They're doing the same thing with beef. The farmers are literally going to lose everything. They've spent all this money to feed, to raise, to do whatever, pigs, you know, beef, everything. Don't worry about the lamb and the goats because the Muslims will take care of them. But that's another story. These reports of interruptions of food supply have already and are going to have the most cascading effects. Millions are now getting a firsthand look at why heavy-handed regulation happy big government is bad. If there's any Muslims out there, that sound should excite you, huh? Hey, I don't care if that offends somebody. I no longer give a damn if I offend somebody. Okay? No, I didn't have any rum and Coca-Cola before I came on the air. But, you know, if I start getting any garbage about it, I'll turn around. I got a bottle of cognac behind me. worst comes to worst, I'll go down to the bottom of the steps and I'll grab my bottle of scotch that I've never opened after 15, 16, 17 years, however long I've had it. Mm-hmm. You know, Bernie once said that it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad the country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. Rich people get the food, and poor people starve to death. Well, Bernie, if long food lines are your idea of a good thing, you must be euphoric right now. The food supply chain is breaking. That, according to Tyson Foods chairman, John Tyson. And we briefly touched on this yesterday. He explained there will be a limited supply of our products available in grocery stores until we are able to reopen our facilities that are currently closed. Needless to say, creating a run on grocery stores could lead to further crisis. Oh, baby. There's going to be a lot of 45 automatics used to get a 12-pack of Colt 45, if they even still make that stuff. Of course, that's not a food, but you wash it down with that stuff. But so Tyson's letter softened the beaches for Trump, who signed an executive order last night using a Defense Protection Act or Production Act to ensure that food processing plants remain in operation. Such closures threaten the continued functioning of the national meat and poultry supply chain, undermining the critical infrastructure during the national emergency, the order states. And while CDC guidelines still protect workers, the FDA says a sick person cannot infect meat. Okay, maybe. Well, but wait a minute, it was allegedly eating bats that cut. Forget it. That's all rumors. Naturally, unions, Obama minions, and PETA knuckleheads decried the order, but industry leaders praised Trump's move as a needed unification of policy nationwide. American families who can still find ground beef at the grocery store should be thankful as well. Except, let me tell you something about most American families. So let's say they go to a Kroger, or Piggly Wiggly, or Ralph's Market, or Albertsons, or Smith's, or whatever they go to, A&P, Jewel T. And they get out there, and there's no ground beef. But I'm assuming there's still a butcher working in the back room. So what happens if you go pick out the roast and say, have the butcher grind this up for me? Americans are too stupid to realize they can do that. But then you see we have another problem. And this is the one that really angers me. Everybody forgot about it. You know, where was the news media when all this was happening? The fact of the matter is that Congress passed a law and Obama or somebody signed it. I don't know who signed it. I don't really care who signed it. Which meant that when meat is imported from other countries, it no longer has to be labeled what country it came from. Well, we all know one whole hell of a lot of chicken is coming from China. Of course, a lot of our chicken is loaded on boats and sent to China so they can do the cutting up and the stuff and then send it back to us. I'm sorry, folks. I'm fed up with it. Stop importing all this damn meat from other countries. Stop having these other countries butchering our meat and packaging it and wrapping it. We don't need them. We got plenty of plants here. Well, we've got the American farmer having to destroy his chickens and his pigs and his cattle, whether it be for milk production, which they're then throwing away anyway. I don't want to hear this crap about, well, the restaurants are closed. There's no market. Bullshit. Excuse my language. But this is how angry I'm getting. Don't give me that there's no market. If people aren't going to restaurants, guess what? That means that they're theoretically preparing more food at home. They've got to be able to get the food. This is insanity. Absolutely insanity. Meanwhile, that's not the only food problem facing the nation. In the 6 weeks or so since state governments began forcing businesses to close and citizens to shelter at home, more than 26 million Americans have lost their jobs, forcing previously productive citizens to turn to Bernie-style food lines for their meals. The food banks are reporting a 70% average increase in requests for food assistance. Locations normally serving 200 to 250 cars a day now struggle with lines stretching for miles, as they face a 30% decrease in food donations and a shortage of volunteers, many of whom are staying home for fear of contracting Wuhan. And they still haven't found, what's his name? The Korean guy. The latest story I heard is that he's got some place he goes to with some of his lady friends. I don't know. Who cares? I'm glad somebody's having a good time with all of this. Well, now, increasingly, thanks to government regulations, Americans are going hungry, as even millions of pounds of meat, fresh fruits, and vegetables rot in the fields and farms, and millions of gallons of milk are dumped. And the irony is that farmers and ranchers and grocery retailers freely admit that there is a surplus of food. And 40% of the country's fresh produce is purchased by the food service industry. And with restaurants and schools closed, yeah, there's enormous excess without a way to distribute it. Get it to the damn stores. Get it to Walmart. Cut off Walmart's ability to bring a damn thing in here from Chinky Dink Land anymore. I've had it. Haven't you? A major part of the problem is the USDA's mountain of regulations dictating everything from what cuts of meat can be donated to the size of the boxes of food that can be donated in. The National Potato Council reports having $1.3 billion worth of potatoes and potato products that it's willing to donate to charities and food banks, but the government regulations prohibit it. Why do you think those government regulations were written? To protect the big businesses that had the stuff to distribute. Let's tell the whole story. Enterprising business owners and humanitarians have created online clearinghouses for foods, attempting to quickly match up food suppliers with those in need, but their best efforts deal with only a fraction of the problem. Of course, then there's the added difficulty in logistics, the cost of transporting surplus food to areas of need, finding refrigerated storage once the food arrives. And though farmers are taking a devastating financial hit, many have harvested the food at their own expense and donated it, taking a further loss on their crops and their livestock, all of which is going to compound their losses to cover the cost of distribution. Oh, and then let's see. I read last night that little Billy Gates is contracted to apparently buy a 4,700-acre farm or 470 acres. I don't know what it is. Who cares? And the little Chinese are coming over here, picking up more food manufacturing companies and distributions. Stop the Chinese from being able to buy a damn thing. When I was growing up, I thought, unless I was, you know, misled, maybe we all were, that companies or countries like China could not come into this country and just start arbitrarily buying businesses. They couldn't buy newspapers and publications of that type. What the hell has changed all of this? My God, we're just giving it all away. You go to Southern California, you go to San Diego and start moving all the way up the coast. I'm waiting for the Chinky Dinks to come in and buy Disneyland. And then Mickey and Minnie and Pluto and all the rest of them are going to have different shaped eyes. I know I'm being facetious and I'm not being very nice, but I'm fed up. Because now all these resorts and these hotel complexes that rent out to tourists are owned by the Chinese. Jesus. I heard a rumor they own Long Beach. I don't know if that's the case or not. This is unreal. Department of Agriculture has a program that buys $3 billion in excess meat and produce every year, giving it to food banks and charities. But with the current glut, those funds have quickly been drained, leaving farmers with a small fraction of their normal revenue. Oh, maybe when they did this whole bailout and started sending everybody this free money, we'll talk about that in a minute. that maybe the Department of Agriculture should have gotten more money in the stimulus and taken care of the farmers, who are the guys that got to produce our food in the future. Don't put them all out of business. My wife even said last night, well, I did it when I first came to this country. Maybe we'll have to go back to eating Spam. Oh, God. Now the USDA announced it's going to be spending $100 million a month for the next 6 months on fresh produce and another $100 million a month on dairy and cooked meat, which will be assembled in a variety of boxes for the hungry. USDA officials said they're attempting to move at lightning speed, but the typical procurement timeline for USDA takes months. Of course, it's a government entity. And these variety boxes will not be available for at least several more weeks. Regulations, bureaucracy, and red tape mean taking months to organize something that needs to be handled in a matter of days before the food rots. But the problems with excessive government regulations that have been revealed by this crisis should serve as a factory full of red flags to the American people as to the dangers of a massive, sluggish, unimaginative government bureaucracy during times of crisis. That's not just a humanitarian crisis. It is, my friends, an issue of national security. Unbelievable. It's just not going to end, is it? Absolutely unbelievable. Well, I mentioned to you a couple of minutes ago, economics. A friend of mine on Facebook posted this last night. I said, I got to have this because it is so unbelievable. And a lot of this leads to our next commentary as well, but it's entitled, Why People Don't Want to Open the Economy. Presley said he was out yesterday afternoon, started chatting with two young ladies, early 20s, who were doing a bit of shopping. I asked them if they were working. Oh, no, replied one of them. I work at a doctor's office, and we've been closed down for a month now. Are you worried about how you're going to survive, I asked. She replied, not really. I get $325 a week in unemployment from the state, South Carolina, plus the $600 a week from the government, Federal CARES Act. I'm getting over $900 a week tax-free, so now I'm very curious. Presley asked the girls, do you mind telling me how much you were making at your job? After taxes, I brought home almost $450 a week. Presley concludes by saying, so this young lady is making double over her regular job. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why a number of people do not want the economy to open up. Think about this. She's sucking in $900 a week. I should not have used that terminology. It might have been an indication to some that maybe this girl was working the streets, which, you know, who knows? Come on, I got to have some fun with this program sometimes. We're sitting in the darkness, people. I'm tired of the darkness. I got to have some laughter. How about you, huh? Bennett, you got a twisted sense of humor. Absolutely. And this creates it more and more each and every day. But we're facing other interesting things. Are you ready? Huh? Yeah, well, for those of you who were just sitting around expecting just a deep recession, I got news for you. I'm afraid you're going to be just a wee bit disappointed. You know, back in our parents' time, for many of us when our parents were children, it took years for the United States economy to fully unravel back in the 1930s. But we've now witnessed a similar level of economic devastation in just a matter of weeks. More than 26 million Americans lost their jobs. Economic activity has come to a standstill. People are lining up for miles at food banks all over the nation. Businesses are being permanently shuttered at a staggering pace. We're beginning to see more and more signs of businesses who've announced that they will not open again, period. They're just giving up. But the good news is that some states will attempt to reopen their economies in the weeks ahead. In most instances, there'll be several stages before all of the restrictions are finally lifted, which means that economic suffering will be stretched out for an extended period of time. And of course, if cases and deaths start spiking again, we could see another wave of strict lockdowns all over the country. But, and needless to say, that would greatly escalate this economic downturn. But that's okay, because I suspect if the second round comes, well, we can lock and load and be prepared for civil war. Because I think in one form or another, it's coming anyway. I know people have lost their jobs. You probably do too. Maybe you're one of them. And because virtually nobody's hiring right now, it's going to be exceedingly difficult for newly unemployed workers to find other jobs. And as we've discussed over the last couple of weeks, so many of these big office-type complexes who have sent people home to work from home are going to realize that, wait a minute, we can keep paying them to work from home. They can use their electricity, their air conditioning bill, which was over 100 degrees for 3 days in a row here today. They can use their own water. They can do this, that, and the other thing. And we don't have to pay rent for a building anymore. We'll just go bankrupt and let the banks take the building, or we'll sell it to some other dumb sucker. We'll keep our cost of running the business down while our profits are up, and that's what's going to happen. This is an economy that is so dependent on the entertainment industry that Nevada is being hit particularly hard by the downturn. New York Times spoke to one Nevada resident named Valicia Anderson. She hardly knows anyone that's still actively working. Valicia Anderson? Sounds like a showgirl. So when Valicia starts to count the people she knows in Vegas who've lost their jobs, she runs out of fingers fast. Her husband, the breadwinner of the family and a restaurant worker in the Rio Casino. All 25 of his coworkers, her grown son at a temp agency, the technician who does her nails, the barber who cuts her husband's hair, her best friend, a waitress, the three servers and a manager at the TGI Fridays that is her family's favorite treat. I guess some good places to eat in Vegas. Why the hell would you go to TGI Fridays, huh? Now, it's been estimated the current unemployment rate in the state of Nevada is about 25%. That number is going to keep going up. Down in Texas, they're also dealing with an oil crash at the same time that they're wrestling with this pandemic. That's created the worst budget crisis in the city of Houston has ever seen. And on the same day, the price for U.S. crude oil fell to about $30 below zero. A mind-bending concept. The first time oil prices had ever turned negative. Mayor Sylvester Turner of Houston, the self-proclaimed energy capital of the world, stood before reporters. His words were grim and muffled by the black mask covering his face. And the mayor announced that The mayor announced city employees would soon be furloughed, but he declined to say how many. The Houston Zoo could expect to see funding deferred under what he called the worst budget the city will deal with in history. Yeah, I guess they could, you know, eat the animals. The high-paying energy industry jobs that fueled an incredible real estate boom in Texas are now disappearing by the thousands. And it's being reported that many of those who are being laid off are learning the news during the painful Zoom sessions from home. Zoom sessions from home? Okay. Thousands of energy workers, some of whom only lately moved to the region to take advantage of the recent prosperity, they've been laid off. A lot of were told the bad news during the painful Zoom sessions from home. Warning letters from energy companies have been flooding the Texas Workforce Commission about layoffs and furloughs. 3,500 at Halliburton. Good. The hell with them anyway. 223 at Tenaris. 184 at Baker Hughes. 102 at Diamond Offshore Drilling, and 95 at the Energy Transfer. By the way, when did Zoom become such a big thing? Seems like an awful lot of people are using it now. I don't understand why it's so popular. I don't even know what it is. You know. Well, back to the economy. Even the Trump administration is admitting that the unemployment rate will soon be approaching levels that we saw during the Great Depression. Sorry, Donald, it's probably already exceeded that, but, you know, crazy. Put it all into perspective. During the last recession, we thought that things were really, really bad when the unemployment rate got up to about 10%. Back in 33, the unemployment rate peaked at 25%. Now we're being told we should expect something similar here in 2020. Wow, man. Of course, low-income Americans are being hit the hardest than anyone else. Well, yeah, but an awful lot of them have been living off the dole to begin with. You know, they all got Obama phones. They got free this, free that. Oh, the illegals, man. Whew, man. The illegals are living high on a hog, baby. Number one, they're working. Or they might be picking apples and oranges or trimming palm trees. Of course, then you got the moosies that are over there dictating what's going on in both Minneapolis and Detroit now. And, you know, they're taking over. They're running it. Why is it that they all get together with what's their holiday, Ramadan or something like that? They can all get together and get down upon their knees and pay homage to Allah and all that business, and they can all rub elbows and they can do, but we can't. We can't go to church. Our pastor's getting hit with $500,000 fines, and the people are getting arrested, but the moosies can get together? Screw it. Enough is enough. And, of course, they're getting free housing, and they're getting, you know, government assistance to raise their kids and take care of their families because, after all, they were immigrants, you know, that were kind of placed here by the Obamanites. Yeah, I'm ticked off. I'm fed up. I'm angry. You know, it's time we start taking care of. What about our poor vets in the street? My brothers and sisters that are living in cardboard makeshift houses along the streets of L.A. They walk outside their front door, take a dump on the sidewalk. These people are just suffering like nothing we can believe. It's sickening to me, people. Isn't it to you? Those folks at the bottom of the economic food chain are going to be hit the hardest. The everything bubble lasted a hell of a lot longer than it should have. It was time for it to come to an end. Because the things that so many of us as broadcasters have been talking about for so long, 25 years. Well, some of you got fed up because it didn't happen in five, and another five went by, still didn't happen, so we must be a bunch of wackadoos. But all the things we warned about so many years ago, we told you they were coming, and now they're here. And most still don't grasp the seriousness of it all. All the economic dominoes are beginning to fall. And even if the remainder of this pandemic goes far more smoothly than anticipated, it will not fundamentally alter our current economic trajectory or the direction that this nation is going in. In the words of Roy Orbison, it's over. Yeah. Some things to think about. Say, Mr. Board Operator, a consideration. Why don't we use that same little piece of music we opened with for the bumper for the bottom of the break, both the open and the close, if it's still set up? I mean, I'm due for a little rum and Coca-Cola. Let's lighten this thing up a little bit. Maybe I'll even lighten things up. You're on it. Cool, man. I got to have some fun with this. And, you know, it's the only song I could think about that dealt with food or drink, so let's rock and roll with it. It was ready to go. Oh, man. We're starting to think too much alike, Michael. When we come back after the break, we're going to... I think. No, we've done that one already. We're going to move in a different direction. Stick around. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Working for the Yankee Dollar. It's a fact, Mom. It's a fact. Rum and Coca-Cola. Rum and Coca-Cola. Working for the Yankee Dollar.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%, no joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
They got the young girls all going mad. Young girls say they treat them nice. Make Trinidad like paradise. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down for Cumana. Both mother and daughter. Working for the Yankee Dollar.
Oh, you vex me, you vex me. Chicka chick carried to Mona's Isle. Native girls all dance and smile. Helps Socha celebrate his leave. Makes every day like New Year's Eve.
Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter. Working for the Yankee Dollar.
It's a fact, man, it's a fact.
In old Trinidad I also fear. The situation is mighty queer. Like the Yankee girls the native swoon. When she hears her bingle croon. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter. Working for the Yankee Dollar.
Yeah, that's it. Working for the Yankee Dollar. The folks down in Trinidad are making it, but we're not. Actually, the interesting thing is when I came back, and by the way, welcome back to this rather unusual program today. I could have opened up this second half with a theme song from an old Peter Sellers movie, 1964, with Elke Sama, and it's called A Shot in the Dark. Robert Kennedy Jr. has become an amazingly interesting human being to follow. I have a far greater respect for this man's efforts than I did for his father, Bobby. Not that I dislike Bobby, and I was never a Democrat, but there was something about the Kennedy family. I'm not talking about Teddy. Forget that piece of garbage. You know, I've often said that the last president we had in this nation was John F. Kennedy. America died the day he was put out. And I've been very emphatic about that for close to a third of my life. Kennedy has once again on this vaccination thing, and he's set the groundwork for the devastation that comes with vaccinations of any kind. But he's now come out, and the people need to hear this, and I'm going to have this posted tonight. And I'm going to post this on several different websites, predominantly Federal Observer and drkelly.info. It's where it belongs. He says leaders need to stop putting faith in Dr. Fauci and begin applying common sense. This guy Fauci is dirty. He's real dirty. He's closely aligned with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And if you start looking back into some of Gates's early situations, he was always about population control. This is nothing new with this guy. Kennedy says that a prolonged quarantine might kill more Americans than COVID-19. The Gates-Fauci scheme of quarantine until we have a vaccine will be a disaster for America. And he also issued a warning to political leaders to stop putting faith in Fauci, who has been revealed as a member of the Leadership Council of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's decade of vaccines collaboration. And Kennedy said on Instagram that our political leaders need to stop putting faith, begin applying common sense, as we mentioned moments ago. He says, I'm happy to comply with the quarantine, but is there a national or a rational plan? Political leaders told us that we would quarantine initially to flatten the curve so as to prevent a surge that would overwhelm our healthcare system. That we would give hospitals time to gear up, beds, ventilators, masks, tests, therapeutic treatment protocols, and then we would end the greatest or the general quarantine while continuing to isolate and protect the elderly and the immunocompromised. But mission creep has moved us into the Gates-Fauci scheme, quarantine until we have a vaccine. It's not a prudent bet. And if you people don't know much about Kennedy, you need to learn about him. If you go to drkelly.info, drkelly.info, and there's a list of categories, click on A Shot in the Dark. Prophetic, isn't it? And you'll see numerous publicator posts that we've made on Kennedy. I believe he's also very, very deeply involved, and I cannot think of the name of his site, but I'm telling you, he's the man to watch for. He's the man, and I don't think his health is all that good. His voice is so weak that I'm concerned for him, and it's not recent. It's been coming on for quite a while. From his, I don't know if it's a Twitter account or what it is. Let's see where it's from. Yeah, it could be. He says, the big short is the more pessimistic HHS models predict 100,000 to 240,000 COVID deaths. A highly respected 1982 academic research book entitled Corporate Flight, The Causes and Consequences of Economic Dislocation by Bluestone, Harrison, and Baker estimates that every additional 1% rise in the unemployment causes 37,000 excess deaths, including 20,000 heart attacks, 920 suicides, 650 homicides, and 4,000 mental hospital admissions, and 3,300 state prison admissions. On 3/24 of 2020, the Fed predicted a 30% rise in unemployment from the CV quarantine. which equals 1,100,000 additional deaths, almost five times the government's worst predictions for COVID-19 deaths. Add additional deaths from the disrupted supply chains for food and meds, from deferred medical treatments for non-emergency ills like diabetes and hypertension. Moreover, a growing body of research finds social isolation is lethal. Sarah G. of Green Med Info has reprinted 13 studies showing dramatic increases in deaths from isolation. Social isolation, a predictor of mortality comparable to traditional clinical risk factors, found social isolation as strong a factor in mortality risk as smoking, higher than having high blood pressure. Another article, The Pandemic America Forgot About, concluded that loneliness and social isolation have the same cardiovascular effects as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and also increases the risk of all-cause morbidity. Loneliness increases the risk of developing dementia by 50%, stroke by 32%, while dramatically increasing of cancer risks, according to a 1997 JAMA study. That's Journal of American Medical, whatever it is. Social ties and susceptibility to the common cold. Researchers found that isolation increases susceptibility to the common cold and respiratory infection. More diverse social networks were associated with greater resistance to upper respiratory illness. A 2015 study found that men experienced an increase of 85% increased risk of mortality following losing their jobs. And moreover, a 2020 Lancet study on the psychological effects of a quarantine and how to reduce it found that most of the adverse effects, suicide, anger, and illness, come from restriction of liberty and separation from loved ones. And furthermore, Kennedy argues the social effects of social isolation and mass unemployment amid economic recession mean the Gates-Fauci model could result in a far worse outcome in terms of lives lost. This is pretty profound, my friends. I want to publish this tonight because, yeah. It needs to be read. It needs to be shared. I received a text a short while ago from Dr. E. Apparently, she belongs to this. I'm going to call it kind of a social network. What is it? What did I say it's called? Zoom, something like that? Let me see what she tells me. Hang on here. This is, you know, it's one of the few good benefits of getting texts while I'm on the air, because I get notifications. She said Zoom is huge. You can do yoga, meditation, take any class that's being offered online. She says, I do about 4 Zoom meetups a week. You get to see your friends. So it sounds like it's a camera type thing. You know, for somebody who hated her cell phone, she's on this thing all the time now. I'm laughing my rear end off about it. Let's see. I also got a note from someone else. One of these two. I've got to get name inserted in here because I get so far behind with this. I get these. It's Paul up in Pennsylvania. And he says, was it me? Did you recall it was the Chinese here in the 1980s, always visiting and touring strip mall locations and other spots, taking photos with their cameras? Maybe they were eyeing up their future assets and properties. Secondly, what about the effect of the meat shutdown on baby food? Is that going to be a concern? Good point. Very good point, Paul. Never thought of that one. But, you know, how much of the baby food anymore is kind of like our burgers at Denny's and Burger King? They're not even burgers. This is what we're facing. And so I go back to, you know, one of the titles, are you ready for, you know, Michael Snyder's article? Are you ready for the Great Depression of the 2020s? Hell, are we ready for much of anything in the 2020s? This has gotten pretty sick and insane. To follow up Robert F. Kennedy's commentary, isolation, my friends. Maybe that's one of the reasons I am so angry. I mean, I don't feel all that isolated. I have other issues that are angering me, but maybe it's all part of the same issue. Maybe it's, you know, let's be honest, ever since all this thing began to unfold, I've been putting on some pretty darn dark and angry programs. And there's so many reasons for it. What's this? One of the daily little humor things. Things I trust more than a vaccine from Bill Gates. A one-night stand with Charlie Sheen. Tap water for Flint, Michigan. An email from a Nigerian prince. These are things you trust more than a vaccine from Bill Gates. A daycare run by Casey Anthony. Sushi from a gas station. Oh, God. Oh, jeez. And cocktails with Bill Cosby. I'd be more concerned if I were a decent-looking female. I'd be more concerned with cocktails with Joe Biden. Never mind. Unreal. To continue our conversation, it is reality, my friends. Isolation. It's a key to social or physical distancing aimed at curbing the transmission of COVID-19. But isolation of both the ill and the symptomatic, along with the well, also intensifies problems with mental health, like the depression. It is impacting one key aspect of those in recovery from addictions, not to mention the deaths and the diseases of despair. Healthy social interactions range from the mundane of encountering smiling faces in our daily comings and goings to individuals who partner with a group or a counselor to overcome addiction through accountabilities. And these human touches and encounters are needed in our lives for our own purpose, our own self-worth, our camaraderie, our identity. And with a prolonged isolation of both sick and well, positive COVID cases with hospitalizations are not the only numbers that have to be considered. Deaths of despair will soon be a part of the death count, although there won't be extra COVID funding coming to those lives or for those lives. Forced unemployment in the double digits has placed Americans who would never in their lives expect to receive a government unemployment check out of work. Wait, they're told. On the population centers to stabilize their case counts and hospital rates. Wait on some authority to allow non-essential businesses. The estimated 30.2 million sole proprietors or authentic small businesses that make up more than 98% of all businesses in this country. Wait for them to resume operations. And during the break, I found out that our governor here in Arizona was apparently up giving a speech an hour or so ago to the public. And I'm told that he just sounded like an erratic drunk. It tells me he's being pressured. The state of Arizona is going to essentially be remain shut down until sometime in June. The restaurants, the bars won't be able to reopen. These are places that will never open again. They're not going to survive. They still have to pay rent. They still have to keep the basics of utilities connected in those places. So what are they going to do? Stay home, not serve bar, not serve alcohol in restaurants, and survive on the whatever the government doles out to them in unemployment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This governor's a raving idiot. He's being counseled. He's being told what to do. I can smell it. His name is Ducey. I call him Governor Douchebag. You can now understand why. Do you remember some years ago the opioid epidemic? Deaths of despair were characteristic of the opioid crisis because there is a correlation between economic stability or collapse and the increase in illicit drug use and addiction. Hence, the opioid epidemic had part of its roots in economic distress. According to the National Institutes of Health, in 2017, there were 70,000 deaths due to opioid overdoses. America didn't close its economy, but there was a moderate response to intervene and reverse course, which happened to include improved economic opportunities for millions. And yet today, Some push a straw argument in efforts to marginalize the opposition in order to keep everything locked down. It goes something like this, that if you want to reopen the economy, you're greedy and you want people to die. Rhetorically, the question is posed, how many deaths are too many before it's time to close businesses again? My friends, it's not just the out-of-work adults facing despair. Wall Street Journal's James Freeman records several reports of increased volume at the teen suicide hotline as a result of social and physical isolation combined with family pressures within the home. Social determinants and adverse childhood events are buzzwords in the academic community, with massive efforts to reconstruct environments to end destructive behaviors into more favorable and thriving situations. And yet the harsh polarizing defenses employed to keep strict closures and the quarantine of all, well, vulnerable, the sick and the healthy, all run counter to the very foundations of these priorities when addressing children and youth in physical and mental health by addressing a variety of factors, including family income and socialization. Maybe that's why I'm depressed. I'm having to hang around too damn many family people that have got their own problems already, and I damn sure don't want them rubbing off on me. You know, there was a need to understand this virus, its transmission and presentation, yes, and to have a temporary intervention to contain and mitigate its spread. This virus from Wuhan is here to stay, but keeping businesses closed and workers unemployed and government printing and borrowing money is neither sustainable nor healthy for adults, teens, or families. Yes, isolation kills, but it kills more than the viral transmission of a pathogen. It also kills an individual's well-being through work and self-reliance, community, ability to support a family. The poison of political hatred, however, will cause significant truth to be missed or dismissed. My friends, there's a mountain of data and research demonstrating a wealth-health connection tying economic growth and work directly to better health and to well-being. We are going to be facing a very, very long war. The enemy is winning because we have refused to acknowledge that there was a war going on all this time. I spoke the other night about my cousin who is just so anti-hateful of Trump, any Republican for that matter, that I know she's been angry that Hillary didn't win. Angry that Obama's out. It's just sickening. And I finally said to my cousin, I said, why do you even tolerate her? He said, because I like to turn around and give her something, you know, to think about. And then she shuts up, just goes away because she can't answer it. And that's part of the problem. So we're back to where we are at this time each day. How much time do we have? Do we have the time? Do we want to even have the time? Let's see, then that falls into the whole depressive standpoint and the suicidal mentality. The best we can do is to support each other. And I don't mean in economic terms, in moral terms, in, I don't care, get out Monopoly. Go teach him how to play Samba. Teach him how to play Canasta. Any number of things. Thanks, brother. These are the times we have to do this kind of stuff. In the long run, it's going to benefit our families. You take care of yourselves. I'll be here to try to take care of you again tomorrow. Until then, may the good Lord see fit to watch over y'all. Thank you much for your time this evening. Good night.
Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past, hand in hand. with ignorance and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do you think we have time? Do you? Hand. Oh, we hold on to what she can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, 'cause nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to hope, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.